It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist. And I really want to thank each of you for listening today. It's a great day, so if you're listening, we really appreciate it. Our co-host is Christina Swigert. You know, Christina is a licensed nutritionist. She has a master's degree in nutrition. And Christina sees clients at our St. Paul office and also at our White Bear office. And she teaches lots of our corporate classes. In fact, Christina, you presented a one-hour food mood class to 40 very nice ladies, right?
Yes, yep, at a law firm in the IDS Tower, 42nd floor, actually. It was quite fun.
So she's also a mother of two young children. So she is our expert in family nutrition, and she helps families get kids to eat healthy foods, which sometimes isn't always that easy, but she has her tricks. So,
right.
So welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Dar. Great to be here. And today we have a great topic. We are going to look at the connection between our food choices and skin issues such as acne, eczema, and psoriasis.
So, stay tuned. If you have, yourself or a family member that is having problems with acne. Now, I say eczema, and you say?
Eczema.
So it's the same stuff. And you can say it either way.
Right. We didn't talk about that one before the show.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about psoriasis today. So
before we get started, I want to introduce our guest today, Kara Carper. She's a nutrition educator and a nutrition counselor, and Kara sees clients at our St. Paul NYZ offices. Welcome, Kara.
Thanks, Christina and Dar. You know, this is an important topic because skin issues can be difficult for people to deal with for a number of reasons. And these issues can affect people both physically as well as emotionally. And I can relate to that. I can relate to clients that I see who have acne because I had acne when I was in college. And I tried just about everything. I had topical over-the-counter products, oral antibiotics like tetracycline. I even tried a very harsh topical Retin-A product, which turned my face red and raw and very sore for weeks. And then I even resorted to taking Accutane for 3 months.
Mm.
Dar doesn't like that. Accutane is a prescription, and it can cause actually fetal birth defects. So
right. If
someone's pregnant taking it, I mean, it can be quite dangerous. And there's many other negative side effects. And I never knew about the side effects at the time. I was just desperate to have clear skin.
Right. So, Kara, when you were in, I'm assuming, many different appointments trying to get your skin cleared up, did anyone suggest nutrition over the antibiotics, or did anyone even ask you what you were eating?
When I went to the dermatologist, no one asked me what I was eating. And the connection was not made that might be the cause of my skin issues. It was basically just trying one medication after another, mm-hmm. hoping to find that one that would finally be successful.
So there are some myths out there, I think, that a lot of people are still believing when it comes to acne. And two of the top ones is that diet has no impact on your skin, and also that antibiotics are the only way to cure acne. And, you know, we really believe and see that, you know, just in the past 4 or 5 years, research is finally suggesting that a nutrition approach to the treatment of acne is better and that antibiotics aren't necessarily the way to go.
So let's take a look at some of that research. You know, in 2005, research states that acne is considered a problem of inflammation. So again, as nutritionists, we are always looking at what's the cause of this inflammation. You know, what is this client eating that is causing inflammation? And sometimes that's a new thought for a lot of people.
Yeah.
What are you eating that's causing this inflammation?
You know, when I look back to when I was in college and had acne, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what caused it. Because when I was growing up, I ate very healthy. But then you go off to college and mm-hmm. you're eating different foods. Things change drastically. I remember ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles. Not you, Kara.
Not now, but back then, all the time. They're cheap.
They're cheap and very, very bad, aren't they?
They're very bad. and pizza, of course, who mm-hmm. goes to college and doesn't have pizza,
right?
Along with beer and chips and all those things. And so all of those foods, they turn into a lot of sugar in the body. And another thing also that I just realized the other day is at the time I was allergic to milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having soy protein shakes every day for breakfast with soy milk and soy protein. And people can be very sensitive to soy.
Right.
So it could have been any of those triggers.
All those probably, Cara,
all of those
probably
together
caused a lot of inflammation. And it just, for you, it was showing on your face, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know, last week on our Dishing Up Nutrition program, Gary Taubes, the author of Good Calories, Bad Calories, explained that sugar and high fructose corn syrup are the real cause of obesity, cholesterol problems, diabetes, but also inflammation.
Yes. And Dr. Lauren Cordain, he's a researcher at Colorado State University, certainly connects sugar to inflammation, and he connects that inflammation to acne, too. So,
and he's done a lot of research on acne.
He has. In fact, he has a book out about acne
yeah.
and the treatment of, looking at it from a nutritional point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today there are many research studies that link sugar and processed carbohydrates to inflammation and acne. And I wish I had known this when I was struggling with skin problems and my breakouts.
Right. And unfortunately, a lot of people still don't really realize it. You know, and we know that many people today have acne, and I think a lot of people think young people. But, you know, I have worked with a lot of women who are having acne breakouts in their late 30s and 40s, and statistics are showing that about 50% of adult women and 25% of adult men have acne problems.
That's shocking.
It is.
I mean, that is really shocking. 50% of adult women are having acne problems.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, as we look at clients, I guess that is probably true.
Sure.
So let's take a look at sugar consumption in the past 150 years. I think this is shocking. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time I read this, I go, wow. You know, in 1820s, now that was even before I was born, we actually ate 2 teaspoons of sugar a day. And in 1905, and that's still before I was born, was about 20 teaspoons of sugar a day. And in 1970, we were up to about 30 teaspoons. Well, you know, I was certainly, I was teaching already by the time the 70s hit.
Then if you look in the 90s, more my age time or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
I wasn't born in the 90s, but people were having 40 teaspoons a day. And in 2007, the consumption was about 53 teaspoons of sugar per day per person in America.
That's a lot of sugar. How much sugar is that actually, Christina?
Well, we did a little bit of math before and figured out that that's about a cup of sugar per day.
Isn't that? Just think about that, everybody. That's what the average person is consuming.
Well, that makes it easy to see why we have so much more inflammation today, and especially in the form of acne. So what you just summarized is in the past 188 years, we've increased our average sugar consumption by over 50 teaspoons a day. So if you look at 1 month, that's 1,500 teaspoons of sugar. So 1,500 teaspoons of sugar in a month, that's surely going to make anyone's face break out, I would say.
Right. And that breaks down into about 31 1/4 cups of sugar a month. So again, that about a cup of sugar a day.
A cup of sugar a day. So what do you have to eat to get a cup of sugar a day?
Well, I've got a few examples here.
Okay.
One of your favorite examples, Dar, is a box of Dots, kind of the movie theater size, and probably whatever box of candy you would get at the movie theater is going to have a lot. But the Dots has about 48 teaspoons of sugar. Or maybe this is your favorite. A large Dairy Queen Blizzard has about 48 teaspoons of sugar in it. Or maybe you're a pop drinker. Having 2 20-ounce Cokes or Mountain Dews and 2 granola bars in a day is going to put you up at that a cup of sugar a day.
So let's go back over those a little bit again, Christina. You know, this box of movie-sized Dots. So that's 48 teaspoons. And that's about how much sugar?
It's almost a cup a day.
Almost a cup a day.
And something that's sad, you know, as my daughter's been in school, preschool now, I'm amazed at the treats that they get for birthdays. One person brought, and I have no idea who it was, brought in movie-sized candy boxes for all the preschoolers for the birthday treat. So she came home with this huge box, like Mike and Ike's or something.
Yes. Oh.
And in that little body. You
yes.
know.
And then a Dairy Queen Blizzard. I have an example. I had a client that was actually eating one of those every day. An amazing thing happened to his triglycerides. They went sky high.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking and talking yesterday, we discovered that, oh, he was eating those quite often. Maybe not every day, but quite often. He had absolutely no idea that a Blizzard had a cup of sugar in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, after he said, well, that ruins that, I'm never having another one. Or even thinking about two Cokes and a Mountain Dew or a Mountain Dew and a couple of those granola bars.
Right.
Again, it's so easy to eat.
Right. And that's people's snacks once or twice a day.
So, you know, I think what we're trying to say is sugar causes inflammation and inflammation leads to acne. So let's take a look at some other examples. You know, people love cereal and most people love chocolate milk. So if you have 3 cups of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and, you know, that's not a lot. That's 3 teaspoons of sugar and two
or
cups
18
of,
teaspoons of sugar.
Or eight. I'm sorry. What did I just say?
Three.
Three.
I had to correct that one.
Okay. Thank you. That's 18 teaspoons of sugar and 2 cups of milk. Well, that's, you know, if you go, that's very little milk. That's very little chocolate milk. And that's 12 teaspoons of sugar. So you got 30 teaspoons of sugar, maybe not quite 1 cup, but pretty close to it. So it is kind of shocking, isn't it, that that's what we're leading to.
Right.
So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. If you're experiencing eczema, the treatment of choice is to eliminate wheat and other gluten grains such as rye, oats, and barley. Often it is necessary to eliminate soy products and sometimes even eggs. Helpful supplements for eczema include omega-3 fatty acids, GLA, zinc, vitamin A, omega-3 fatty acids. And if you have questions today for us, our number is 651-641-1071. And we'll be back in a minute.
We all strive to have healthy, glowing skin. But hormones, diet, medications, and stress can sabotage our best efforts. Remember when you thought you would outgrow acne, only to have it reappear? Is your skin getting drier and more prone to rashes and irritation? Perhaps you want to keep your skin from aging prematurely. Your skin is the largest organ in your body, but often the most neglected one. Aging is inevitable, but the right nutrients can help your skin stay healthy and resilient as you age. Nutritional Weight and Wellness can teach you how to eat to create radiant, healthy skin and avoid aging prematurely. We help clients with eczema, rashes, acne, and other skin problems. Learn which foods protect and nourish your skin, along with the role essential fatty acids play.
For more information about classes or individual consultations, call 651-699-3438 or visit weightandwellness.com. Offices conveniently located in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. I'm here today with Kara Carper, nutrition educator and counselor, and Darlene Kavist, also a licensed nutritionist. You know, skin problems respond well to optimal nutrition. Healthy skin really requires a wide range of nutrients, a healthy liver function, good digestion, and assimilation of nutrients. You know, good digestion and assimilation can really be cut short with the use of antibiotics and anti-inflammatories such as Advil or Motrin. So often, restoring skin back to health requires treating the intestinal tract first. And skin is often a reflection of the health of your intestinal tract.
So let's take a caller right now. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Erin, you have a question for us today?
Actually, I do. I have a toddler, and she's 2 years old, and she's had eczema since she was born, and I never really thought about controlling it with her diet. I'm learning. She has oatmeal every day, and she eats a lot of Cheerios and whole wheat toast, but I know there's barley in it. I just don't know if it's possible to control symptoms in a toddler with them eating, you know, or what you can do to minimize, what are some healthy choices to minimize eczema in a toddler who's, you know.
Well, I think one of the things, I assume you're not breastfeeding now?
No.
Okay. Well, I think then you really can control what she's taking in, and I think the first thing you have to really do is get her off of all the gluten grains. That means wheat. That means Cheerios because that's got oats.
Yeah.
You have to just get rid of those things. Now, you know, they have some really nice little rice crackers. And you can substitute rice crackers and rice You know, I know this personally because my granddaughter that is 5 now had eczema really, really bad as a baby. And so we had to eliminate a lot of foods. And now she has it not at all because she doesn't eat those things. And it's a very uncomfortable situation for any child to have because it itches all the time.
Right.
And so, you know, it affects their sleep and it affects just their functioning. So changing their diet is easy because you give them so much relief internally when you do that. So eliminating all those things. And then you have to look at maybe it's dairy products. Sometimes that's, I mean, we had to actually eliminate dairy products. And then also sometimes it's eggs. So you start with one, and if it doesn't go away, then you go to the next level and the next level and the next level. I don't know. Christina, you have something else to add to this?
No, I think that's great. And I mean, and it's, we're not the only ones saying it too. I mean, I was watching the Today Show a couple months ago, and there was a doctor on there too saying that for most people, especially kids, food is usually the problem when it, they have skin issues. So
that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So just doing your best and, you know, starting to replace with real whole foods, the rice crackers, but then, you know, using fruits and vegetables, sometimes cooked ones. I know my son likes to snack on frozen berries just right out of the freezer. You know, and then trying to get good, healthy fats in is something I guess that I would look at because the skin, those are very anti-inflammatory. So I don't know if she likes avocados or olives, you know, using butter, things like that. So really encouraging those foods too to help with the healing process then.
Do you believe the gummy vitamins that contain the omega-3 are effective? She does take those little, there's vitamins that have omega-3. They're just little gummy vitamins. I don't know if that helps with eczema at all.
There are some brands of good omega-3s that have a little bit of lemon or orange flavor to it. I'm not sure that you're talking about that kind, but if it's a good quality omega-3.
Yeah. The Nordic Naturals, I know, has some nice kid ones or in the stores.
Okay. Yes. So. But
well, thank you. And one last thing I just did hear on the advertisement I was listening is Kara Carper there today?
She certainly is.
I was one of her good friends in college.
Oh, my gosh.
Erin Erickson. So
hi, Erin. I recognized your voice.
I saw you in a magazine earlier about your kitchen. So anyway, congratulations, and I'll hang up and listen now. So thanks.
Okay. Well, that was a great question, Erin, and we really appreciate it because so many kids, I think, are suffering with some skin problems, and parents had no idea that it is really coming from the foods that they're eating. And changing the diet is not that difficult. Mm-mm. And if people need help, they can always come in and meet with one of us, and we'll help you do that.
Yeah, I think oftentimes parents have a harder time with it than the kids actually do. Because once the kids feel better and they find they like these new foods, if it's new things, they're fine.
Yes, exactly. So. You know, I think, you know, we were talking about the amount of sugar that's in different things. And, you know, I gave you an example before break about cereal having about 3 cups of cereal has about 18 teaspoons of sugar at least. And a couple of cups of chocolate milk. That's 2 little containers of chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes I see teenagers, they'd put 3 or 4 of those on their trays if they could.
Right.
So, and they have about 30 teaspoons of sugar. Now, regular milk, you know, doesn't have all that sugar in it. So, but anyway, you really can get a lot of sugar in a very short time just eating things that most people think are okay. But there's other things that have a lot of sugar in.
There are other things. Some other favorites for young people might be, for example, Papa John's pizza. 4 pieces has 38 teaspoons of sugar. Add a Starbucks Frappuccino that has 9 teaspoons of sugar. So, you know, we're back to our total of almost 50 teaspoons, which is a cup of sugar.
And I think this is a good example of what a lot of college students are eating. I mean, I remember when I was in college, the Domino's pizza guy was every night up by our dorm, especially the freshmen. And I know it still happens from different college students I've talked about. Then you use those Frappuccinos for the caffeine to stay awake. So
right.
It can be a bad combination.
You know, and it's just people have no idea that that's going to cause their acne breakout the next day.
Right, exactly.
And it's, you know, they think, well, is it the fat? Well, no, it's maybe not the fat, but it is the sugar that's in those products.
Yeah.
So, again, I think it's really hard to realize that, you know, there's sugar in pizza and there's like 38 teaspoons in 4 pieces of pizza, which isn't a lot of pizza. And just in a, you know, a regular 6-inch sub, There's 12 teaspoons.
Right. And something I realized when I was looking at Subway nutrition facts with a client is that the wraps even have more carbs in them than the 6 inches sub do. So something to think about.
Yeah. And, you know, these are the foods that all young people are eating. And so is there any wonder that we have an epidemic of acne? You know, I guess I believe that most parents, because they really care about their teenager, we know that, they would never have them eating those foods if they realized that those are the foods that are causing acne. And I think it, a lot of times it just goes back to we lack knowledge in this. You know, it's kind of, when I first looked up how much sugar is in a Blizzard, I was literally shocked.
Right.
And then it made so much sense to me why they were causing problems for people.
Yeah. People don't know this. I never knew when I was eating pizza that that might be the culprit.
Right.
So should we take another caller here?
Sounds good.
Okay. Gail, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
Did you say Gail?
Yes, Gail.
Hi, yes. I was just calling. My daughter's been fighting acne probably for about the last 4 years.
Yes.
And she's been on Accutane twice. The first time it cleared up just beautiful, but the second time it hasn't done much good for her. They're thinking now that she may have polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's developed a nickel allergy on top of everything.
Well, that a nickel allergy is pretty common, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the most common allergies for people to have. So that's not unusual.
Okay.
But, you know, when you link polycystic ovary syndrome and acne, what does that tell you? I mean, it tells us something.
Mm-hmm.
What does it tell you, Christina?
That she probably is eating too many carbohydrates and sugar. That's one thing.
I mean, that's really the cause of both of those things.
Okay.
Is excess. Because what happens is the excess carbohydrates cause excess insulin, causing excess inflammation, and it causes those polycystic, you know, it causes those problems for people. So I guess, is she living here locally, or is she?
Yeah, she lives at home. She's 18, okay. And she's going to school, so she is in town here. And then I just noticed now she's got some dark brown spots underneath her armpits.
Yep, and that's part of, that's kind of that insulin resistance, that part of that. It's almost like a pre-diabetic kind of situation, and that's
okay.
The coloring of the skin. And yes, you know what, honestly, I would say have her make an appointment with either Cara or Christina or one of the other nutritionists in our office, and because a two-hour appointment can change her life, honestly.
Well,
I mean, you know, you've been struggling with these really harmful things that she's been putting in her body to control this. And so, you know, great call. We really appreciate the call. I think a lot of people are struggling with those same things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'll give them a call.
All right. Thanks, Gail. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company dedicated to bringing you nutritional information that can make a difference in your health. Let's look at the connection, the nutritional connection to cataracts. I know that's not skin problems, but it may surprise you, eating sugar and processed carbs result in higher blood sugars, and that's connected to an increased incidence of cataracts. If you are at risk of developing cataracts or have a beginning of a cataract, perhaps it's time to reduce your blood sugar levels and reduce those processed carbohydrates. You know, again, processed carbs and sugar, they seem to be linked to many health concerns. So if you have questions today for us, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Before the break, Dar was talking about the link between eating sugar and processed carbs to cataracts. You know, we can prevent the cataract epidemic by being more careful about our food choices and maintaining high levels of antioxidants, vitamin E, beta carotene, vitamin C, zinc, and selenium to slow cataract progression. You know, taurine is an amino acid that is one of the most important antioxidants in the eye. And what it does is it protects the eye from free radical damage.
Whether it's eyes or skin, what we're saying today is that sugar seems to have a negative impact. And here's a great quote from the book Sugar Busters. How can sugar, something that tastes so good and has been fed so readily to most of us since childhood, by our most trusted person on earth, our mother, possibly be so bad for us? So it gets back to, you know, it's just lack of knowledge. No one has poor intentions.
Right.
That's right. So let's take another caller here. Lana? Hi there. You have a question for us?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Did I get your name right?
It's Lana, yes.
Good. Thank you.
I'm 40 years old, and just in the last couple of years, I've noticed that whenever I eat eggs alone, whether it's a boiled egg or like a fried egg, inevitably I can almost predict that I will have a breakout, like one or two pimples the day after or the 2 days after. And I'm just wondering what that's about, because I don't get a breakout if I mix it in with something else, like French toast or that type of thing.
Well, I think that's a food allergy, and you're probably allergic to the actual protein that is in the egg, and most of it is in the egg yolk, or in the egg white, but there's still a little bit in the egg yolk. So you're probably experiencing that egg allergy. And when you get it in French toast or something, maybe you're not getting that much. But when you eat a whole egg or two whole eggs, it just pushes you over the brink. And so it's a food allergy that you've developed. And maybe you've always had it, but maybe it has just come on in the last, you know, few years too.
Okay.
So it's an allergy to eggs is kind of a common allergy mm-hmm. for a lot of people. So
all
it's
right.
So not unusual. So
great.
Okay?
Thank you so much. I love your program.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Have a great day.
Thank you. So I think what we'll do is take another caller here. Janet, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Yes. I recently purchased a bottle of agave nectar, which says it's a lower glycemic sweetener than
mm-hmm.
sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes great.
It does.
So I'm wondering, is it actually better?
I think it is. Either Christine or Cara, you want to speak to it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably maybe better than sugar, but it's still sweet, and I think it still raises blood sugar. So it is still, you know, it probably falls in between, like, a stevia and actual sugar.
Uh-huh.
So
it's better, but...
Yeah, you know, I use it at home often. I have some of that, and I have some maple syrup, and if I'm making, you know, whipped cream, I'll put a teaspoon of either one of those in the cream rather than sugar, and it's plenty sweet enough, I'm sure it doesn't make the blood sugar go up very much.
Yeah.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just take another caller here. Naomi, you have a question for us today.
I do. Thank you, Dar. Actually, it's two quick questions.
Okay.
What do you think about, you just mentioned about saturated fat, so what do you think about the Smart Balance Light? It says it's made with flax oil and it has a lot of omega-3s and 6, so I just would like to know your opinion on that, and also your opinion on using honey as a sugar substitute. So,
well, let's take a look at honey. Actually, unless, Christina, you want to answer on honey? Or
go ahead.
Okay.
I mean,
well, actually, honey, you have to use very little honey because it's very high in sugar. And opposed to what a lot of people think. And so a little bit, it is natural, but still you have to really limit it, the amount of honey that you use if you have any kind of insulin resistance. And what we have about 80 to 90% of the population that are insulin resistant now. So again, you have to be very careful. And the other one is on Smart Balance Light. You know, I frankly don't know the product. As we just recommend butter.
Right. I know I've seen regular Smart Balance. I don't think I've seen the Smart Balance. I think a lot with Smart Balance, it's definitely not margarine, but I think it's still, the oils are going to be a little bit processed still. Not as natural and probably nutrient rich as real butter.
So I guess I would look at, if it's made with flax oil, you know, that's a very fragile oil. And so if it's heated in any way to when they make it, it's going to be a damaged fat. So I don't know. I think, you know, it's something that you have to look at very carefully. So, you know, and maybe what I can do is take a look at it this week and see if I can figure out, you know, a better answer for you, a more scientific answer at least.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, we were kind of talking about, the fact that people are not aware of how much sugar is in things, and that they probably wouldn't be encouraging their kids to eat those things if they had any idea.
Right.
And actually, Before we do that, our producer says we need to take another break. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in life-changing nutrition education. You know, if you want to lose 10 pounds this summer, or lower your cholesterol, or stop heartburn, this actually may be the summer to take the Weight and Wellness series to help you achieve your health goals. You know, you can have more energy, feed your kids better, enjoy the experience of learning how to eat, to feel good, and to have a sense of well-being. You know, having a sense of well-being, isn't that what life is all about? So if you want to sign up for the Weight and Wellness series, give our office a call today. Corey's answering the phone today, so it's 651-699-3438. And we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here with Darlene Kavist, licensed nutritionist, and Kara Carper, nutrition educator. And today we are discussing the role that nutrition plays in healthy skin.
We have mentioned many times throughout the show today that sugar and processed carbohydrates increase our chances of having acne, eczema, and psoriasis. And often people want to give up sugar or reduce their carbohydrates, but the cravings get in the way. So if you take some of our classes, I mean, we can teach you how to reduce your cravings. And in the Weight and Wellness series, we will do that in one of our classes. And the classes start June 2nd. You can check out our website at weightandwellness.com for a class near you.
And again, we have classes in White Bear. We have classes in Maple Grove. We have classes in Chanhassen. We have classes in St. Paul, White Bear Lake, Wayzata, all over the community now. So we're keeping them close to you so you don't have to use up all your gas money.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's take another caller here. Hi, Gina. You have a question for us today. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. Approximately a year ago, I was diagnosed with having eczema or eczema. Mm-hmm. And I've been prescribed this cream. I can't remember now. I'm not home. I can't remember what it's called. And it just doesn't seem to help very much at all. So I was just wondering if you can help me.
Well, I think you have to look at eczema as a nutritional problem. So it's something you're eating. And the first thing to look at is, again, the gluten grains, because that's what the research says. You have to look at the gluten grains. So that's wheat, rye, barley, oats, those kinds of grains, and you have to eliminate those from your diet first. And then the next step might be, if that doesn't take care of it, the next step would probably be Christina?
Is dairy. Because a lot of times that protein in dairy can also cause inflammation for people, especially in the skin.
And then the next thing, if that isn't it, you have to eliminate eggs, because it's the protein that's in eggs that sometimes cause eczema. So it is, again, it's a nutritional food problem. And these creams or these antibiotics or these things it's a Band-Aid approach to a complicated situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a food problem. So you may be eating something that you hadn't eaten in the past, or suddenly your body says, no, I don't like those things anymore.
Could medicine cause it, a side effect from medicine?
Certainly could. Mm-hmm. Certainly
can.
Could, yes.
Yes, and one more thing. It comes in just two different forms, and I don't know if it's eczema in both cases, because I get dry spots, and then right in the front of my, like from the knees down, in front of the leg and from the knee down, I get little red bumps. Eventually they dry out and go away, but so I don't know, is it one and the same?
It could be, or it could be two kind of different reactions. They're both problems of inflammation. Mm-hmm. So again, you have to look at what is causing that inflammation, and it's probably a food. Now, it may be triggered by a medication you're taking, or it actually could be a side effect from the medication. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, a personalized nutritional consultation, it could really help you and get over this so that it doesn't go on and on and on. Usually, you know, if you don't correct it, it often just keeps getting worse.
So what do you suggest? I go, instead of going to a dermatologist, I go to?
A nutritionist. Call Christina or Cara. You know, our office number is 651-699-3438. And we work with people with this problem all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every week we see several people with these problems.
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
My scalp gets very dry, and I know it's not dandruff, and I don't think it's psoriasis. I don't know what it is, but it's very dry, and it just aches, and it itches, and it kind of gets very, in some areas, it gets very...
Okay. Christina can give you an idea on that now.
I think it's just, again, related to all the other things that are going on and just showing up in different ways throughout your body. And along with, I mean, you're probably eating some things that are causing it, and you're probably really deficient in some of your body's own natural anti-inflammatories. Another thing we would probably look at is, okay, how can we get some good, healthy fatty acids in? You know, a lot of times people are low in good omega-3s,
or
good omega-6s,
or sometimes
like
just low on fats.
Period. Yes, eating fats.
Maybe you need to add more olive oil or butter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we would look at and help you, and look at the right kind of fatty acids, because you probably need some omega-3s, but again, you might need some omega-6 fatty acids mm-hmm. for skin. So we look at all those things to help you get balanced.
Okay. Right.
So thanks.
Did stress cause it?
It can make it worse.
It can make it worse, but it's really a food problem. So give our office a call, and thank you for calling us today. And we have to take a break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Are you eating your spinach and kale to support your folic acid levels? If not, you may want to start. Researchers have found that the highest level of folate, that's folic acid, was related to a lower risk of Alzheimer's disease. A perfect breakfast for brain support would be 2 organic eggs for the DHA omega-3s and spinach for the folate and butter to give your cells good structure. You know, it tastes good. And it's always healthy. We'll be back in a minute.
All right, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, supplements for skin health would include these following things. You know, omega-3 fatty acids to help reduce the inflammation, omega-6 fatty acids in the form that's called GLA for tissue and skin health and to hydrate your skin, cod liver oil for vitamin A and as an antioxidant. And just a little thing on cod liver oil, if you've just come off of Accutane, you might not want to go to that right away because of the vitamin A. Zinc to reduce acne breakouts, and bifidobacteria for removal of excess toxins in your intestinal tract.
And other tips for skin health are to drink lots of water, no soda, try to eat vegetables for your carbohydrates as much as possible, and of course, no trans fats, which are hydrogenated oils.
So let's take another caller. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
Hi. Yes, I just heard you talking with someone about inflammation and the foods that kind of cause that.
Yes.
I have fibromyalgia, which is, you know, a lot of times is inflammation.
Certainly
in
is.
The joints and muscles. And I just wonder, then, what foods is it that kind of makes that worse that I can avoid?
Carl, what foods do you think she should avoid first if she has fibromyalgia?
Well, I think trans fats.
Trans fats would certainly be one, and those are the things that are...
Well, they're labeled as hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated.
And then, Christina, what do you think would be the next logical thing that she should really eliminate?
Yeah, whenever I work with people with autoimmune disease, gluten is kind of at the top of the list of things to eliminate, along with the processed sugars and things like that, definitely. But then that gluten really has shown, and we see it all the time, to be a major source of inflammation, especially for fibromyalgia.
And, you know, I think what you do is you really change your eating, and you start eating a lot of vegetables and fruits to a certain extent, and then, you know, some lean meats and some healthy fats. And, you know, I don't know, Marilyn, maybe you're eating that way right now, but every time you put, you know, a piece of bread in your mouth or cereal or any of those things, I'm sure you experience more inflammation.
Yeah, you mentioned wheats and stuff like that. So the white flour breads would be better than, say,
no,
a wheat bread?
Probably no breads.
It's still made with wheat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still made with wheat. I think it's, you know, it's like when you have a chronic health condition, you have to be willing to change your eating. And it's kind of shocking because I don't think people realize the power or the impact of food on their health. And we just kind of merely go along and we eat a way that gets us in trouble. And then finally, when we're so in trouble, people will make an appointment with a nutritionist. And then when they change their eating, they just are shocked, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you guys find that so true? When people start eating different, what are some, I mean, I hear it all the time. They come back and they just are like, I can't believe I feel so much better.
Well, it's more, it's not only the weight loss, but it's more energy, you know.
Less brain fog. Less, I hear that
yeah,
a lot.
Less aches and pains. And it's, and you know, it's the magic is the food that you're putting in your mouth. That's all. It's vegetables for breakfast. I mean, that's kind of shocking for a lot of people. But I would never think of starting my day without breakfast, you know, some vegetables now. It's such a pattern of eating. And some good eggs and some good butter and, you know, again, it's sometimes people need help doing it, though.
Can caffeine also be a culprit?
Maybe if you're drinking 10 cups a day, but if you're drinking a couple of cups, it should be fine.
Okay.
It's not that big of a culprit, I don't find, for most people. You know, unless you're having sleep problems. And then maybe then you have to, you know, you have to give it up. But it's more the sugars and the breads and, you know, the bad fats.
Or if the caffeine's coming from Diet Pop.
Yes.
That would be
That's right, too. That's true.
Thank you.
So thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. You know, just, you know, to kind of think back about some of the things that we've been talking about in... Again, you know, if you have eczema, I mean, what's logical? We have to give up kind of eating those wheat products, don't we?
Right.
So, you know, food can either be a problem for you or food can be your solution. And we really appreciate you listening today, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Life, I love you. All is groovy.